This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, you're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Lynn Mark. Today on The Breakfast Grill, I have with me in studios Cormac O'Rourke, Managing Director of JTI Malaysia. Good morning, Cormac. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Lynn.
So let's start off with talking about illicit cigarettes, because that's one of the things that JTI Malaysia has been very vocal about. And you've recently announced the results of a study conducted on the illicit cigarette trade in Malaysia. Perhaps you could tell us a bit about that to start us off.
Sure. We conduct, through the CNTM, which is the Federation of Tobacco Manufacturers in Malaysia, an illicit cigarette study three times annually. And we released the reports of the latest wave, which shows that, unfortunately, illegal cigarettes in Malaysia remain stubbornly high at 60% of the total marketplace. And unfortunately, we have yet to see any concrete action being taken by the government, although we have made significant proposals to them time and time again to address this illegal cigarette trade matter. And equally, we announced a new study which is looking at the area of illegal vaping. Mm. And this is something that is booming in the last 3 months in Malaysia. And when we consider the illegal vaping now and the illegal cigarette sales, you're talking about 70% of the total consumed market being illegal in Malaysia, which we estimate is a loss of about 6 billion ringgit to the Malaysian tax collections each year.
And do you have any data on how much of the vaping industry as a whole in Malaysia here is illegal versus legal?
Well, as far as we see it, the entire industry essentially is illegal. Anything that contains nicotine, and our survey shows that over 90% of the products available in the marketplace contain nicotine. Anything that contains nicotine that's available to purchase in the marketplace today is illegal. And this is as a result as nicotine is controlled under the Poisons Act 1952. The Ministry of Health have yet to approve anyone to have a license for the importation or the distribution of nicotine-containing vaping products. Mm-hmm. And this is notwithstanding that even we ourselves have tried to the NPRA, which is the National Pharmaceutical Regulatory Authority, to be issued a license to import ourselves these such vaping products, but we have not been successful. So clearly, all of the nicotine-containing vaping products that are for sale in Malaysia today is illegal. And what you're seeing is a number of ways this is happening. A big one and a growing area is these nicotine pods and these nicotine becoming available through e-com platforms and coming in online and being shipped directly to the consumers. All of these are passing through customs. But we're also seeing a significant growth in bricks and mortar stores, these vaping stores, which are selling all of these nicotine-containing mm-hmm. products. So I guess the question for us is why the MOH aren't acting. In fact, there seems to be some sort of willful confusion by the Ministry of Health surrounding its own laws. I mean, recently in media reports, I'm listening to the Deputy Minister for Health, you know, saying or suggesting that further regulations are needed in order for them to be able to enforce and take action against illegal vaping. This is clearly is not the case. All they need to do is to enforce their own laws, their own existing legislation to ensure that these illegal products aren't made available. And maybe you've heard, but the government have recently, through the Ministry of Health, mm-hmm. set up a special committee, according to themselves, to investigate this. And they're proposing to deal with this through a new tobacco control law. Yet we have had no consultation with the ministry on this. Now, the Ministry of Health will often, you know, hide behind the Framework Control and Tobacco Convention, the FCTC under the WHO, as a reason not to talk with us. But this simply isn't the case. We would ask that the ministry would do two things here. One is to face up to your responsibility here, take action under your own laws and enforce. And secondly, invite the legal industry to come and talk about a new fit-for-purpose regulatory framework so Malaysian consumers can access legal vaping product.
So you, to be clear, you haven't had any consultations with the ministry regarding the proposed Tobacco Control Act?
No, we have called for such. We have written to the ministry in relation to this, but we are yet to receive any news. But the suggestions, you know, mm-hmm. and I live off the media report similar to yourself, is that they're looking to impose further tobacco control measures. Now, in a marketplace where 60% of cigarettes are illegal I think you first must face up to the reality of the marketplace and take action against the illegal cigarettes.
But speaking of that marketplace, I mean, illicit cigarettes are not necessarily the only headwind facing tobacco companies, because despite its questionable legality at this point, vaping is becoming increasingly popular. And if this legalizes, then that will be even more of a threat towards companies like JTI Malaysia that produce cigarettes. Not only that, you're also seeing the rise in popularity of heat-not-burn products. And JTI Malaysia currently doesn't have one of those products yet in the Malaysian market. So how is JTI here in Malaysia poising itself to address that competition?
Yeah, well, there's two parts to that. The first is in relation to e-vaping or nicotine vaping. And we're very much of the view that there is a role to play for reduced risk products, both e-vaping and heated tobacco product in the marketplace. But you must have a specific regulatory framework which is fit for purpose. So what we have at the moment is essentially an unlevel playing field where all of the nicotine-containing vaping products are illegal. And while we have made applications directly through the Ministries of Health's NPRA, we have been unsuccessful. So that's on the vaping side.
When did you apply for these for this license?
So the application process on the nicotine part, probably 4 to 6 months, but it has come to no avail. And I think this is because that the Poisons Act, when it was drafted in 1952, it was never envisaged that nicotine would be used in such a way. So what you have is old laws which are no longer fit for purpose, which is why we suggest two things to the Ministry of Health. One is that you must level the playing field, enforce your existing regulations, and two is that you must engage all of the legitimate industry stakeholders to draft a new regulatory framework which actually caters to these new products.
So you've mentioned the FCTC, that's the WHO's Framework Convention on Tobacco Control, which discourages becoming too closely involved with industry players like yourself as an excuse the Malaysian government uses not to engage with the legitimate industry. But I can understand where that's coming from, because the concern is, right, that whatever statistics or whatever numbers that you put forward, at the end of the day, you are still acting in your own self-interest.
I think, you know, signatories, governments around the world have signed this and often will use this as the basis for not being able to have this dialogue with legitimate industries such as ours. But that really isn't the case. All it requires is therefore to be transparency around these meetings and these discussions, which, of course, we're very happy about. If the Ministry of Health and the government in Malaysia, if they are serious about the health of their citizens, the first thing they would do is tackle this illegal cigarette problem. There is 5 million adult smokers today smoking illegal cigarettes in Malaysia, which adhere to none of the ministry's own regulations. So, you know, it makes no sense to take this combative approach with the legal industry, which complies with all of their regulations. And it makes further less sense to proceed with any more tobacco regulation given the situation where 60% of all cigarettes consumed are illegal. In fact, it would be irresponsible, and the only thing it will serve to do is to grow the problem even more.
Let's also talk a little bit about one of your proposals in conjunction with the results of the survey that you released. One of the things you called for is an excise moratorium. Does that mean an entire moratorium on collection of tax on legal cigarettes as a whole?
No, what the moratorium says is that there should be no further upward movement of excise taxes on tobacco. I think you must have that in place for a minimum of 3 years and only consider increasing excise if you have got to grips with the extent of the illegal cigarette problem. There has been some people who have mooted, perhaps you should look at an excise reduction. The issue with an excise reduction in Malaysia is that if you look at the pricing of the illegal cigarettes, they are between 3 and 7 ringgit. And because they pay no tax and adhere to no regulation, even were there to be a halving of the excise duties, they would simply reduce their price. They would still remain to be half the price of legal cigarettes. So key here is enforcement, actually. That is the key that's needed, is actually enforcement, coupled with policies which are consistent. You have an inconsistent approach, I think, at the moment between the Ministry of Finance and the Ministry of Health when it comes to tobacco regulations. But we've also suggested two other key measures. Second is a ban on the transshipment of cigarettes in Malaysia, coupled with a single port of entry. And this is one of the big smuggling routes into the country, where containers come in through the ports of Malaysia, They say they're to be forwarded on to other countries, maybe by road to Thailand, but they never leave the country and the tax is never paid. And if, for whatever reason, either be it because of concern over free trade agreements or implications under the WTO, that they're not prepared to put an end to the transshipment of cigarettes, they could consider, like what Singapore has done, they could collect the duties from these ship forwarders at exit of port, refund those taxes to these people once they leave the country. That is a system they could put in place today. The third, then, is really looking at needing an independent body to overview a multi-agency approach from government to tackle this issue.
But it's not necessarily solely the responsibility of the government in order to address this illicit cigarette problem, right? Because when you talk about illicit cigarettes, they can actually be broken down into several categories. One of them is counterfeit cigarettes manufactured illegally, but the other is contraband. So the question then, I guess, is what are you doing to ensure that your products don't go missing at some point along the supply chain and end up contributing to the illicit cigarette problem in countries like Malaysia?
I mean, in essence, you know, any product which purportedly is entering the country legally with fake tax stamps is not a legal product. So,
but it's definitely not a legal product. But at the end of the day, it was still produced by legal manufacturers.
Mostly what you're seeing is these products are being manufactured in Philippines, Indonesia and Vietnam and coming into the country often through this transshipment method. However, in regards to legitimate manufacturers, i.e. the big three manufacturers who exist in Malaysia, you do not see our products in this marketplace coming in illegally. Quite simply because the pricing differential is too high. Plus, we also have strict controls on our supply chain. In fact, before I moved to Malaysia, I lived and worked in Cambodia for three years, which is a much, much lower cost in terms of taxation. And we did have instances where illegitimate small entrepreneurs, if you like, were looking to gather product to ship it. And we look into our supply chain and we try and stop that because we have taken the position globally as a company that we are against the illegal trading of cigarettes.
But how easy is it to spot the sort of situation that you described, you know, small entrepreneurs, because I guess they would be the weak link here. How do you recognize that?
I think that's one of the hardest problems, but that's not really the big part of the problem. The big part of the problem in Malaysia here is not small entrepreneurs taking advantage of this situation. These are big, organized criminal gangs who are in play for a long time in Malaysia, and that's where the extent of the problem comes from. The reality is, in Malaysia, there's no great ingenuity required. We have seen in other countries, even the country where I'm from, Ireland, when illegal cigarettes were over 30%, the ingenious ways that these smugglers needed to use to evade customs to get the product into the country. You would see products coming in hidden, concealed under boxes of toys or clothing. You would see them even in hollowed out trees. But the reality in Malaysia is no such ingenious trickery is required because the big bulk of the problem lies at the port where the product comes in. And this is why we have called, obviously, on the government to really step up enforcement efforts here because it's in your hands.
I've been speaking to Cormac O'Rourke, Managing Director of JTI Malaysia. After this, we'll be taking a look at the direction JTI Malaysia will be taking, so be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking to Cormac O'Rourke, Managing Director of JTI Malaysia. Now, earlier we were talking a little bit about the illicit cigarette trade, and I did have another question for you, Cormac, which was that wouldn't companies like the big producers, so JTI, BAT, Philip Morris, wouldn't companies like you still at the end of the day benefit from the illicit trade if, say, the products or your inventory is essentially stolen as they're en route to wholesalers because they've already been paid for? You still get revenue off them in the end.
Well, if you had theft of shipping, it would be a problem because you would face supply issues in the market. But as we said earlier, JTI's position is very much against the illegal trade of cigarettes. And globally, we work on that. We have teams specifically dedicated to support governments, both in terms of intel and in training and on policy making, to ensure that we can clamp down on this illegal cigarette business, which is a huge problem in Malaysia, of course, but also in other countries globally as well. So no, it's really not in our interest that this illegal cigarette business continue.
And if this trade does continue to grow and flourish here in Malaysia, is it a possibility that JTI might exit the country, or are you in it for the long run?
I think that really, you know, is something we hope wouldn't happen, that we would have to pack up shop and leave the country. But the reality is, and in 2017, we closed our manufacturing footprint because it was simply no longer viable to have our ASEAN manufacturing footprint in Malaysia when so few products were actually being shipped directly to the Malaysia domestic market. You've seen that BAT have also done this. And equally, we too have to consider that on an ongoing basis, what will be our level of investment in this country, how much we can afford to invest all over our business in view of this.
And JTI is one of the three big names in cigarettes here in Malaysia, but you still lag quite far behind the biggest player, BAT, because BAT has about 54% of the market share. You have about 24% at this point. Are you content being second best in the market? What are you doing to increase that?
I think nobody likes to be second best, but actually, when we look at the ready-made cigarette category, we are the only company who are growing share year to date. So even though the full marketplace is down 10%, we've seen JTI market share grow, and year to date, we're north of 24%. So we're, if you like, solidifying our position as the number two, and we do very much want to continue to grow our market share. What we're seeing is, though, that the share is gained through value for money propositions, and the margin of these brands are a hell of a lot less from the traditional more premium, sub-premium brands that we sold. So again, you know, while we want to grow our business, we must look at the investment side to make sure that it makes sense for us. Malaysia is the fourth least affordable in the world for smoking in countries where JTI operates. So we need to respond to that consumer need, particularly when 60, 70% of the business is below this price point anyway. So, you know, what we would like to see happen, as I've said, is that there would be action taken against illegal cigarette sales, that there would be an excise moratorium to allow affordability for Malaysian consumers to improve so that we can continue to offer products to Malaysian consumers.
Are you concerned that the delay in bringing your alternative products to market may actually cost you that market share in the e-vaping or e-cigarette industry?
Sure. I mean, if you look at what we've spoken about earlier, all of nicotine-containing e-vape is illegal. And we see containers being shipped into the country, coming into online platforms. And these are, some of these brands are pretty big brand names regionally, particularly in Asia. And these people are going to market first, and it's an unlevel playing field. So sure, if we're not allowed to have access to this marketplace, we ultimately will be the net losers in this.
But even putting aside the illegal players, we've got BAT and you've got Philip Morris with their IQOS product, which are already in the market or coming into the market. But JTI Malaysia, it's not even a twinkle in the eye at this point. So if and when you do get regulatory approval, how will you catch up?
I think the one thing about the reduced risk product space is that it's still a relatively immature part of the industry. And it's quite different from the traditional combustible ready-made cigarette part of the business in the sense that it's not just status quo for quite some time. This thing moves at pace. There's technology, there's devices behind this. So I don't think that will be too late to the industry because it changes so quickly and consumers will be continually offered, I think, more improved products as time goes. So this is still, it's in its infancy, this part of the industry. But again, I think what's key here from a consistency and to ensure that there's a level playing field is that the Ministry of Health enforces its own laws as they are written in a transparent manner.
And speaking of the Ministry of Health, the Ministry of Health did introduce a public smoking ban here in Malaysia. And so far, BAT have said that the move actually did impact the volumes of sales. Did you see the same thing happening in JTI Malaysia?
Yeah, I mean, the volume of sales have been impacted in the industry. It's often a little bit difficult to separate the key drivers because you've seen a growth in illegal cigarettes and illegal vaping. And whether the smoking ban was another trigger point for this illegal vaping as people switched to vaping devices or not. But we must bear in mind, actually, that enforcement has been relatively low. And they've said, in fact, that proper enforcement as such won't take hold until next year. I think really there's a strong argument to be made for some sort of accommodation between smokers and non-smokers, because it's not just legitimate tobacco volumes that suffer in this space. What we're hearing is some of these restaurants, these coffee shops, their businesses too are suffering as a result of this. But, you know, it's quite common. It's normal. We see this in countries across the world where these type of regulations come in.
Yes, because if the public smoking ban is any indication, it says that the Ministry of Health is moving towards slightly more large-scale public health drives, and smoking is a big factor in that. So even with the introduction of risk-reduced products, right, what is the future that you see for JTI Malaysia? Because, I mean, even if we talk about risk-reduced products, right, about 50 years ago, doctors were advocating cigarettes be used to treat asthma sufferers. You know, the technology and the awareness may not necessarily be in-depth enough to really identify the risks posed by these products. So where does that leave a company like JTI Malaysia?
I think, you know, you said it very clearly. I mean, we know so much more now than what we did 50 years ago about the dangers of smoking. And I think the consumers are looking now for healthier alternatives. But yet adult consumers do want to have the right to choose whether to smoke cigarettes, whether to vape and so on. And I think we need to be mindful of that. And we're very much in favour of protecting the liberties of adult consumers who choose to smoke. Notwithstanding, I think, you know, this reduced risk product space is very much in its infancy. And if we look at, as we said earlier, what's happening in the UK, the NHS very much advocating vaping as something which is less harmful than cigarettes. I think we have to seriously look at that in Malaysia and make these products available within a proper regulatory framework so the Malaysian consumers can make an informed choice.
And what would you say has been your experience of engaging with the current Ministry of Health, not necessarily on the subject of the Tobacco Control Act, because we mentioned that before, but on other issues as a whole?
I think it's quite mixed, and it depends on which government department you're talking to. And this is a little bit concerning because you would hope that at this stage, Pakatan Haripan, around its cabinet table, would have got to grips with the state of the finances in the country and would be delivering maybe a little bit stronger on its election manifesto, of which included a promise to eradicate the illegal trade. So, you know, we haven't quite just seen that yet. I can understand, you know, when a new government comes in and inherits a situation such as it did, that it's challenging. And, you know, I think even Dr. Mahathir himself did say that his government, his cabinet ministers, are somewhat inexperienced in that they haven't been, many of them, in government before. So, of course, we appreciate that. When it comes to our interfacing with the Ministry of Health, and in specific in our interface with the Tobacco Control Unit, we have found it to be a very, very frustrating process. However, when we interface with people like the new Chief of Police, we are a little bit more heartened because we believe that there is some courage there and that there's some political will, at least at that level, to do something about this crippling problem here in Malaysia.
And what are you expecting then out of Budget 2020? Since the conversation has started to turn to that, it is due on the 11th of October. So what are you, JTI Malaysia, as well as the tobacco industry, looking to see out of that budget? Do you expect an excise hike? You know?
No, I mean, I think at this stage it would be foolhardy for any government to impose any further excise on tobacco given the current state. What I'd like to see is a strong commitment by Guangyang. I'd like him to see him make a statement saying that he will impose an excise moratorium for 3 years, and he will take further measures to combat this illegal cigarette trade. I think that's what we need to see. And from the government as a whole, we need to see an improvement when it comes to policy making and a consistency when it comes to interpreting their own laws. And certainly we need to see a change to the existing regulations regarding the Poisons Act to allow for a level playing field around emerging or reduced risk products in this country.
Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Cormac.
Thanks, Lynn.
I've been speaking to Cormac O'Rourke, Managing Director of JTI Malaysia. This has been The Breakfast Grill. I'm Lynn Mark for The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, Frost & Sullivan's Malaysia Mobile Service Provider of the Year.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.